lesson is going to be a little bit different than normal. I'm teaching you basically a concept that I got out of this book right here. The title of the book is called Praying the Bible. And I put the information about the author, Donald Whitney, and some publisher information there. I just want you to know that this is where this information came from. And we don't usually have Sunday school lessons like this, but this concept we're going to be dealing with as it relates to prayer, it's fitting because it'll close off our series of messages on prayer that we've been doing for a couple of weeks now. And then it'll give a method that has really just changed my prayer life completely, and it's been just an awesome blessing in helping my time with the Lord. And so if it can help you in that way, that's the reason why I want to do this morning. So let's have we prayed just a minute ago, but let's pray specifically for the lesson. And there's quite a bit of information to read, and we'll make a few comments about things. Then we're going to do some practice at the end of our lesson this morning. Not out loud, don't get nervous, we're not going to have you come up in front of everybody, but individually on our own, we'll have some practice on this so you can understand a little bit in a specific way how it works. So let's pray and we'll get right into our notes. Father, this morning it's a joy again, as we've mentioned, to be in your house. We do pray for your help. I pray for your help today in the lesson that although we'll be reading a lot of stuff, I pray that it wouldn't be a distraction from the message, that you would allow us to be attentive, to get out of this the helpful principle, the method that I think would really change our prayer life. And so I pray that you'd help us with this, help us to be faithful to you, and to discern or to determine really to pray like we should. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, well, let's get right into it this morning. The problem. Now, as we develop the problem, you'll understand, I think, the primary point that the author is making in regards to our problem as it relates to prayer. But I think that it's not always just isolated to this problem. We all have, I think, sometimes our own problem in our prayer life. And you can apply it that way too as we go. One preacher said, if I try to pray for people or events without having the Word in front of me guiding my prayers, then several negative things happen. One is that I tend to be very repetitive. I just pray the same things all the time. Another negative is that my mind tends to wander. And I don't know if you can relate to that statement, but I certainly can and have through the years. We don't desire to be repetitive. We know that God doesn't want us to be repetitive, but we fall into that rut sometimes where we just pray the same thing and we pray through the same routines. And it ends up just sort of, after a while of doing that, it loses its luster and excitement, doesn't it? Letter B, since prayer is talking with God, why don't people pray more? Why don't the people of God enjoy prayer more? I maintain that people truly born again, genuinely Christian people, often do not pray simply because they don't feel like it. And why would they not feel like it? Look at the next bullet. The reason they don't feel like it, or rather feel like praying, is that when they do pray, they tend to say the same old things about the same old things. Sometimes when someone has prayed that way for about 1,000 times, then they just don't want to do it again. And if you're not in that rut, then there will be times when you'll fall into that category from time to time. Now again, this isn't an indictment, as we say, a problem. This isn't us or me or the author saying you have for sure this problem and that we always fall into this rut. But generally speaking, our prayer life can lose its fervor, can't it? And so with that in mind, look at letter C. Frankly, we get bored sometimes with our prayers. Prayer is talking to the most fascinating person in all the universe about the most important thing in all in our lives, but sometimes people are still bored to death. As a result, a great many Christians conclude it must be me. Something must be wrong with me. Something's wrong, again, with me. If I get bored and something as important as prayer, then I must be a second-rate Christian. Indeed, why would people become bored when talking with God, especially when talking about that which is most important to them? Is it because we don't love God? Is it because deep down we really care nothing for the people or the matters we're praying about? And of course, the answer is no. We don't listen. Generally speaking, we don't struggle in our prayer life because we don't care. But we do, I think, sometimes tend to think that we're struggling so much in our prayer life as a result of a problem that we have and we can't put our finger on it. That's for sure the case. The next bullet, rather, if this mind-wandering boredom describes your experience in prayer, I would argue that if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if you are born again, then the problem is not you. It's probably your method. Now remember, this is a good time, I think, to insert what we've been talking about. And you might remember in Matthew chapter 6, we studied our Father which art in heaven. We remember that through that time of explaining of prayer, Jesus basically boiled prayer down to a couple of concepts. Number one, God's glory. And so when we pray, we need to remember God's glory first. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the glory of God. And then man's need. After glorifying God, give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And lead us not into temptation. So God's glory, man's need. Okay, but even in understanding that concept, I think sometimes we can fall into that category of what our author is talking about here, of praying, even with that in mind, praying the same old things about the same old things and losing a fervor with that. Okay? Letter D. According to the New Testament letters of both Romans and Galatians, another of the supernatural heart changes the Scripture creates in all Christians is to cause them to cry, Abba, Father. But Romans 8:15, it's right in your notes there. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6, Paul goes on to explain the same concept. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so, under that, when someone is born again, the Holy Spirit gives the person a new desire. What is it? Father. A desire to pray, a desire to seek our Father, to know Him, to be close to Him. Watch. If you have no desire for God, that's a serious spiritual problem. It's not a small spiritual problem. It's a serious spiritual problem, and it could, for you, have eternal implications, meaning you might not be saved. Now, can we know who is or isn't saved based upon strictly on our desire? Not always, because we can quench the Spirit, can't we? We can be saved and run from God in our hearts so strictly with doing our will as opposed to God's will that we have no desire for Him. But I will tell you this. If you have no desire and there's not really been a desire there, you're just going through the routines, there could be a serious spiritual problem. And I want you to keep that in mind because God sometimes uses these kinds of concepts to reveal to us that we need to be saved. You know, there are those times when we go through the motions, don't we? But if you are used to going through the motions and you would admit that you're going through the motions is a way of you trying to satisfy God, then God begins to, through those, reveal to us that we don't have relationship because you can't satisfy God by going through the motions. By having a prayer life, you can't satisfy God that way. And so we need to get past that to a spiritual need that only Christ can satisfy. And part of that is a desire to fellowship with God. A desire. We're still under letter D. Look at the third bullet. But our problem on the other side of this issue is that when prayer is boring and we don't feel like praying. And by the way, can I go ahead and say that boring isn't, I said it just a minute ago, but boring isn't always the right word to characterize the way we feel. You might not feel bored with prayer, but it doesn't mean that you feel fervent in prayer. And that your prayer life is alive as you want it to be. Okay, Keep that in mind. Under that, when we don't feel like praying, it's hard to make ourselves pray. And in those times, even 5 or 6 minutes of prayer can feel like an eternity, and our minds wander half the time. Letter E, when prayer consists of the same spoken sentences on every occasion, naturally we wander at the value of the practice, don't we? I think in time we might wonder. We begin to wonder if our prayer bore us, or rather if our prayers bore us, then maybe they also are boring to God. Or if we're having these feelings, maybe God has those feelings too. And there's a struggle there. We can begin to feel like the little girl I heard about, whose parents taught her the classic bedtime prayer for children, and it's, "Now I lay me down to sleep," and you've heard that, I'm sure. Well, one night she had this thought, letter, the second bullet there. Why does God need to hear me say this again? And so what she did is she recorded herself saying the prayer, and when it was time for her to say her prayers at night, she just pushed play. And it could be that you feel that way sometimes, that you go through a just sort of same routine. There was a story I read about a man who was called on to pray for the offering. And he was out loud praying, and the pastor was hearing somebody muttering something, a child muttering something. He was starting to get frustrated. "Don't talk while we're praying." But he was listening to what the child was muttering, and the child was saying, he was saying verbatim exactly what his dad was saying, because it was his dad that was praying. This child had heard his father pray the same prayer, the exact same words, so many times that he had it memorized, and he was saying the same thing at the same time as his dad. And it could be that you feel that way sometimes in your prayer life. We're just saying the same things, you know. Under that, the next bullet, sometimes it's how we feel about our prayers. Mindless, repetitive prayers about the same old things. And we wonder, is the problem me? And no, the problem is almost certainly not you. Probably it's your method. Note that it's okay to pray about the same thing, kinds of things. You know, if you want to pray for the same kinds of things every day, that's okay. For your finances, for your family, for work, for crisis, marriage, it's children, etc., those kinds of things. We pray regularly for those things. That's okay. It's normal to pray about those things consistently. But the problem is not that we pray about the same old things. Rather, it's that we pray the same old things about the same old things. And so we want to adjust our method. So let's take a quick look at a solution here. It begins by understanding that we have a Heavenly Father who wants to enjoy fellowship with all His children and wants all His children to enjoy talking with Him. God desires that we would have a fruitful walk with Him in our prayer life. The solution stated plainly, let's just give you a simple statement here. When you pray, pray through a passage of Scripture, particularly a psalm. Say, well, how does that work? We're going to talk about it in a specific way here in just a few minutes. But that's, in a nutshell, that's the solution that we're offering this morning. Although this might seem like a new principle to you, it's actually not a new concept. In a book titled E.M. Bounds on Prayer, in chapter 7, George Mueller was of the routine of combining his Bible study and his prayer quiet time in his quiet time hours. And this is what he said. Read this, follow along as I read this quote to you. "I saw the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditate on it." That's a good attitude, isn't it? What's the most important thing you'll do in your day? Fellowship with God. And if we neglect our Bible reading in the mornings, and we neglect our time with prayer with God in the mornings, and we're neglecting the most important thing that we could do each and every day. So if this morning you're not as touched about the topic of praying, that it could be that we need to evaluate what's important to us every day and put God in His rightful place. And that's what he's saying there. Let's read on. "That thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed." And that comes from God's Word, doesn't it? And then he goes on, and that by means of the word of God, while meditating on it, my heart might be brought into communion with the Lord. And this was the idea of going from the word of God into a time of prayer. Just one sort of seamlessly taking you into the other. Look what he says next. I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament early in the morning. The first thing I did, after having asked a few words for the Lord's blessing upon his precious word, was to begin to meditate on the word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it. And by the way, you don't just read the word of God as a kind of to-do thing on the task list and you just sort of check it off. No, we read the Word of God because we want to fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It's a living book. It's not an ordinary book. It's not just a seeking at an intellectual level to know more about God, but it's to know God. It's to fellowship with Him, to have a communion with Him in that sense. So he goes on, I did this not for the sake of the public ministry of the word, nor for the sake of preaching on what I had meditated on, but for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. Almost invariably, I have found the result to be that after a very few minutes, my soul has been led to confession. Have you ever had that? You're reading the Bible, and then God convicts your soul, and it leads you into a confession. I need to get my heart right with God. And He's speaking to me. And that's the way or the nature of fellowship. That's the nature of having a walk with God. His word touches your heart and it causes you to respond to Him. That's our daily walk. It's not just a routine. This is a relationship. He goes on. And it leads him not only to confession or to thanksgiving or to intercession or to supplication. What is supplication? It's asking God in prayer. Asking God, supplication, asking God. And we have a lot to ask God, don't we? And so he's mentioning that. So that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. So the Bible study that George Mueller did each morning launched him into a time of prayer. And by the way, that's the way it should be. Our Bible study should lead us into a communion with God, a fellowship with God. Let's look at the method. This is where it gets exciting. Now, I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now, I'm going to give you here in a few minutes some specifics on how to discern potentially what scripture to look at whenever you desire to pray through a scripture. But we're going to say that this is where you were in that day. It's a well-known passage, okay? It says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's say you're reading through that, and you're meditating on it. You're thinking about it, and it's touching you. Okay? With that in mind, let's look at our notes, the method. One writer said, the Psalms were designed to be prayed. That's a good statement, isn't it? The Psalms were designed to be prayed. I could prove that to you, but we're going to do that right in our notes. So we'll just let it take its natural course here. Letter B. Now let's see what praying through Psalm 23 looks like. Okay? You begin by reading the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, and then you pray something like this potentially. Now, is this us putting the specific words in your mouth? No. You say these words, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, who is that saying that? It's God. Who's he saying it to? He's saying it to you. And as it relates to David here, we understand in David being the writer of this passage, but we also know that scriptures are timeless and the Spirit of God works in our hearts. So when we read the Bible, let's not forget, it's God talking to you. God is talking to you. And He says, here, the Lord is my shepherd. So maybe the prayer would go something like this. Lord, I thank You that You're my shepherd. You're a good shepherd. You've shepherded me all my spiritual life. And great shepherd, please shepherd my family today. Guard them from the ways of the world. Guide them into the ways of God. Lead them not into temptation. Deliver them from evil. O great shepherd, I pray for my children. Work in their hearts that they may become Your sheep. May they love You as their shepherd, as I do. And Lord, please shepherd me in the decisions that are before me about my future. Do I make the move? Do I make that change or not? I also pray for our under-shepherds at the church. What's an under-shepherd? It's the pastor. You know, you're praying, the Lord is my shepherd, and it causes you to think of your pastor. So you pray for him. Please shepherd them as they shepherd us. And you continue to pray anything else that comes to mind as you consider the words, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I was thinking about that. And I actually, because of this concept, I got on my knees and I began to apply this principle and I began to pray. I said, Lord, You're my shepherd. And I just paused and I meditated on that. And it just was overwhelming to me that He's my shepherd and I'm His sheep. And He pulls me in and protects me and guides me and takes care of me. And it was a time of thankfulness, a time of prayer. And you could spend a long time just on that phrase, couldn't you? But let's say you go on. The next bullet, and when nothing else comes to your mind, you go to the next line. I shall not want. And then perhaps you pray this. Lord, I thank You that I've never really been in want. I've not missed too many meals. I think most of us can say amen to that. All that I am and all that I have, it comes from You. But I know that it pleases You that I bring my desires to You. So would You provide the finances that we need for those bills, for school, for the car, for whatever the need is? I shall not want. He wants to take care of us. And it touches our heart. Maybe you know somebody who's in want, and you decide at that time to pray for God's provision for them. Or you remember some of your persecuted brothers and sisters around the world and you pray for their concerns. And after you finish that phrase, then you look at the next verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And frankly, you see the phrase lie down and what pops into your mind? Man, I'd sure love to have a nap today. You know, did you know that it's okay to ask the Lord to provide a time of rest when you're praying? And did you know that it could be that you wouldn't have prayed about something like that had you not read that scripture? Because God wants you to have rest. He wants you to be refreshed. He wants that for you. But sometimes we don't think about that. And praying scripture here helped us to identify that. Possibly the term green pastures made you think of the feeding of God's flock in the green pastures of His Word, and it prompted you again to pray for a teaching ministry, perhaps that you lead, or for the teacher or pastor that feeds you with the Word of God. Lead us into green pastures. And so you pray for those that teach you the Word or preach to you the Word of God. When was the last time we did that? Maybe you've never done that, but praying through this psalm caused you to do so. Next you read, He leadeth me beside the still waters. And then maybe you begin to plead, yes, Lord, I do need Your leadership in that decision I have to make about my future. I want to do what You want. Oh, Lord, but I don't know what that is. So please lead me into Your will in this matter and lead me beside the still waters on this. So we need God's leadership. I have these things that are coming up. I need Your guidance with this, dear Father. And we pray about that for a time. Maybe you've been anxious. You have an anxiety issue. And you pray because it says, lead me beside still waters. And it causes you to pray something like this. God, please quiet the anxious waters of my soul about this situation. Let me experience Your peace. May the turbulence of my heart be stilled by trust in You and Your sovereignty over all things. And the people as it relates to the circumstances I'm going through. God wants us to have a kind of peace in our life, doesn't He? And maybe we didn't think to pray that, but there it is. Following that, you read these words from verse 3. He restoreth my soul, and prompts you to pray along these lines. My shepherd, I come to you so spiritually dry today. Please restore my soul. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. I pray that that you will restore the soul of that person from work, school, down the street, whom I'm hoping to share the gospel. Please restore his soul from darkness to light and from death to life. Restore our soul. And then, of course, you read through the whole passage that way. These are just a few examples or ideas. Letter C, you can continue this way until, one, you run out of time, or two, you run out of psalm. You get to the end of the psalm and you still have time. What do? Well, turn to the next psalm and keep going. By doing so, you'll never run out of anything to say. And best of all, you'll never say the same old things about the same old things. You know what's amazing about this? This isn't in our notes. That he did reference it in his book. But that let's say that there's a health need and we pray for Miss Gabby, or we pray for Brother Marvin and the family, that you can take that concept of praying for somebody else and pray through Scripture with them in mind. Like, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, we know that, Miss Gabby, the Lord is your shepherd. He's going to take care of you. I shall not want. So we can pray that way. We can even pray for other people specifically while we're praying a portion of Scripture. And I love this. This isn't in our notes either. But think about when you pray Scripture, it's as though you are literally having conversation with God, because you read His Word and you're responding to His Word. That way. Okay, next bullet. We begin to wonder. Well, I think I went backwards. There we go. So basically, what we're doing is taking words that originated in the heart and mind of God and circulating them through your heart and mind back to God. That by this means, His words becomes the wings of your prayers. Let's say a couple more things about the method. One writer said, open the Bible, start reading it, and pause at every verse and turn it into a prayer. Now, we're going to talk in number 5 specifically about praying the Psalms. But here's what's neat about this concept, is you can do this with any passage of Scripture. Now, let's go on, because there's a few things that I think we need to keep in mind. Letter B. To pray the Bible, you simply go through the passage line by line, talking to God about whatever comes to mind as you read the text. You know, it's interesting there is sometimes we'll pray about things that the passage really doesn't have a lot to do with, but it came to your mind while you were praying through that passage. You know, and that's okay too. I don't think that God won't accept our prayer if we think of something different because of what we're eating, even though it doesn't maybe relate to that Scripture. It's amazing. You're praying, you're reading the Scripture, you're talking to God, you're having that communion with Him, that fellowship with Him, responding to Him directly from His Word, and then you think of somebody while you're praying, or some situation, that's good. Letter C, and I think this is a very important note. It's important to note that any given text of the Bible we're reading means what God inspired it to mean. It does not mean what not what it means to me. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, this passage means this to me? Well, we might feel a way of, or have an opinion about a passage, but that doesn't mean that's what it means. God didn't have 2 or 3 different interpretations of one passage. There's just one interpretation. And so here's what I'm saying to that. You might be praying a Scripture and you get to a verse and you say this to yourself, I have no idea what that means. So what happens then? Well, just skip it. Go to the next verse. And what if you? And this is right in our notes, so we'll. I'll just say it to you here. What if you get to the next verse and you understand it completely? Like, you completely get it. It's totally clear. I get this. But nothing comes to your mind to pray about. Well, skip it too. Just go to the next verse. You don't have to think of things. You don't have to try to interpret the Scripture before you pray. Just skip that one and go to the ones that you know. And it's amazing, though, while you're praying, how God gives us a kind of understanding of His Word while we're fellowshipping with Him and communion with Him, talking with Him while we're reading the Bible. It's pretty awesome. So let's go to number 5, praying the Psalms, letter A. As a whole, the Psalms comprise the best place in Scripture from which to pray Scripture. I base that on the original purpose for which God inspired the Psalms. Now follow here. The book of Psalms, which in Hebrew means book of praises, was the song book of Israel. I don't know if you knew that, but the Psalms don't have chapters. They're called Psalms, praises. And they were written to be sung. Sung or prayed back to God. That's why they were given to us. Let's go on. I'm getting ahead of myself. The Psalms were inspired by God for the purpose of being sung back to God. It's as though God said to His people these words, I want you to praise me, but you don't know how to praise me. I want you to praise me not because I'm egomaniac, but because you will praise that which you prize the most. And there is nothing of greater worth to you than I. There is nothing more praiseworthy than I, God says. It's as though God's saying this. I want you to follow what I'm doing here. And it is a blessing for you to know that. It will lead to your eternal joy if you praise me above all others and above all else, and to your eternal misery if you do not. But there is a problem. You don't know how to praise me, at least not in the way that's fully true and pleasing to me. In fact, you know nothing about me unless I reveal it to you, for I am invisible to you. Therefore, since I want you to praise me, and it's good for you to praise me, but since you don't know how to praise me, here are the words I want you to use, and gave the book of Psalms. Therefore, when we pray the Psalms, we are returning to God words that He expressly inspired for us to speak and to sing to Him. Letter B. Consider a systematic approach for praying a psalm each day. And can I go ahead and tell you this morning that I'm teaching you this because I do this. I started doing this and it changed my prayer life. Completely changed my prayer life. And I want that for you. I want that for you. Consider the systematic approach. The next bullet. If you intend to pray through Psalms, then using the Psalm of the Day approach will help you avoid thumbing through the middle of your Bible, randomly searching for a psalm that looks interesting. And here's how it works. It's based on taking 150 psalms and dividing them by 30. This is because most months have 30 days. The result is 5 psalms a day that you'll look at. Put another way, if you were to read 5 psalms a day for an entire month, then at the end of the month you would have read through the entire book of Psalms. The first psalm is the one that corresponds with the day of the month. If today is the 15th of the month, then your first psalm would be the Psalm 15. And on the 15th day of the month, then you'll start on the 15th psalm. Does that make sense? So whatever the day of the month is, you'll start with that one. And then for your second psalm on that day, you'll add 30 to it. Why 30? Because 30 is basically, generally speaking, how many days in the month there are. So you add 30 to 15, and that's Psalm 45. And then you know your first and second psalm is Psalm 15 and Psalm 45. Okay? And after that, you just keep adding 30 until you have 5 psalms. So what do I do on the 31st of the month? Well, that's when you can pray through Psalm 119, or a portion of it, the longest chapter in the Bible. Remember, you can use any scripture, but the main reason the Psalms work well in prayer is that the very purpose God put them into the Word is that we would be put them in words back to Him. Okay? Oh, and there's a chart there. You can take this and maybe cut that out and put it on your fridge or something, but what is today? 27th? Yeah, let's go to Psalm 27. And we're going to practice. Psalm 27. We there, say amen. Well, that was awful. Amen, there we go. Let's say you woke up this morning and you're just a little bit afraid about something coming up. It's like, man, I'm a little bit afraid about what, you know, it's just, there it is. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You read that and you're thinking, not only did I need that, I'm going to pray that. Maybe. You read through the psalm, some of the words there, you know, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. And look at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. And maybe you're thinking, I sure would love to have that in my life. And already you're thinking, I think I'm going to be praying this passage today. But you know, I want to see what the other ones say. So we had 30 to 27. Any mathematicians in here? It's 57. Let's go to 57. By the way, you don't have to read every word in the psalm. Just read a few verses and you can make your decision based on that. But Psalm 57, what is this? Well, before we read, maybe you're struggling with some kind of a sin and you woke up this morning and you have a guilty conscience. Because you feel like, man, I keep blowing it. I keep blowing it. What's wrong with me? You know, maybe that's a struggle there. And then you look at verse 1 of chapter 57, and David says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. And you're thinking, that is my prayer this morning. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. And you just stop and meditate on that, you know. You can read through the rest of it. I will cry unto God. Verse 2, I'll cry to God the Most High, to God that performeth all things for me. Verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And you think, well, I think I'm gonna be praying Psalm 57 today. But you go through it line by line, verse by verse, even phrase by phrase at times, and your heart's touched, and you're touched by God because you know this is what God is saying to you. But also, you know that this is what you want to say or respond to when you talk back to God. As a matter of fact, that is a prayer. Be merciful, O God, be merciful unto me. Okay? What's 30 plus 57? 87. I'm not the best at math, so that's why I put that chart on there for you. 87. Maybe you've lacked trust in God. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And you read through that and you're thinking, I mean, this is great. It's God's word. It's always good, right? But nothing really touched you there. So you're thinking, I don't know if I'll pray through this one today. I'm glad I read it. I'm touched by it. But I'm not sure I'll pray through that. You see how it works? Now let's go to the next one, 87 plus 30, 117. By the way, this is the shortest chapter in the whole Bible, 117. Like, I'm going to read a whole chapter, two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Maybe you just wanted to take a few minutes and just praise God and repeat those things back to Him. Praise the Lord. And I want the nation of America to praise the Lord again. Maybe just sit there and pray for your country for a little bit. You know. And lastly, 30 plus 117, 147. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up the wounds. You read through this, great is our God, verse 5. The Lord lifteth up the meek, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. And so maybe you're touched by something there, and you think, well, I think I'm going to pray through this. So we read through we just sort of skimmed through five different chapters in 5 minutes or less. Did you see a verse that touched you this morning? Did you already see one? Go back to that one even now. And let's have maybe 3 minutes of time of prayer. Now, boys, open your Bibles and go to a verse. Chapter 27, chapter 57. Open your Bible and pick a verse. Okay. Well, he wasn't moving his fingers, so just pick one of your chapters, pick one of your verses, and let's take a minute here and pray. And then after we take a minute and pray our scripture, then I want to hear what you think. So let's do that even now. Can I have your attention? I know that in a setting like this, it's hard to maybe have a heart that's calm, because there were a lot of people here. But can you already tell how this is a way of praying that will truly change things? As we seek the Lord, that we would open His Word, find a psalm or a passage that we're reading, and we would pray and respond to Him that way. Now, before we dismiss, does anybody have a comment about what you just thought, what you think about this, as you just sought the Lord in prayer by praying a verse? Is there anything there? I'll tell you this, for me, I have a tendency to be fearful about relationships. I just do. Maybe you didn't know that, but I do. And I read verse 1 of chapter 27, and I was blessed by that, because it was a reminder from God to me that I don't have to fear. And I prayed and I responded to that, but it encouraged me. And the Lord used that in my heart. Is anybody else? Yes. Excellent. Yep. I like that. This is just a way to pray. Anybody else? Okay. I hope that you will at least try this. Open up your word, open up the Word of God, seek Him, and then try to respond to His Word through prayer in this manner, in this method. And I think you'll be encouraged. Or at least add it to your current system. Father, Lord, we thank You as we have opened Your Word and studied this principle It's a very unusual kind of Sunday school lesson today, but helpful in the sense that it could, Lord, help us to have a meaningful time with you in our prayer life like we haven't had. And so I pray that you'd help us to have that kind of faith, trusting that, Lord, as we seek you and meditate on your word, that you'll remind us of promises and truth there, and then help us to respond. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us. Thank you for your grace, and we pray your blessings for the remainder of today. Pray for the lost, that you'd work in their hearts, please. Bring them conviction in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Okay, well, you're dismissed.